What's up, freaks? This rip of RHR is brought to you by our good friends at Strike. If you hold Bitcoin, you shouldn't have to sell it to access liquidity. Strike offers Bitcoin-backed loans with zero origination fees, zero early repayment fees, and zero liquidation fees. Your Bitcoin is securely held and returned within a business day after your loan is closed. A financial institution built by Bitcoiners for Bitcoiners. That's what Strike is building. They're doing it for you. I use it every day. Go download Strike at strike.me. And use code RHR for $500 in fee-free Bitcoin stacking. Again, that's strike.me. Use the code RHR. You're going to get $500 in fee-free Bitcoin stacking. This episode, again, is sponsored by Strike.
This rip of RHR was brought to you by our good friends at CoinKite. They produce the Cold Card Q, my favorite hardware wallet. It's got two secure enclaves. It's got a full screen, full keyboard here. As you can see, if you're watching, if you can't watch, just imagine something that looks like a BlackBerry. It allows you to create private public key pairs offline in an Aragat fashion. You never have to connect the Cold Card Q to an internet device. You can sign transactions and PSBTs remotely in the most secure fashion. If you're a Bitcoin Power user and you're looking for the best security, go pick up a Cold Card Q and go to coinkite.com. Find the Cold Card Q there. I think you can go to coldcard.com as well. Use the code RHR for 5% off. Step up your security. Get a Cold Card Q.
This rip was also brought to you by our good friends at Stackwork. If you're looking for a great way to make KYC-free sats, Stackwork has bounties. Go to stackwork.ai, find their bounties page, and contribute to the bounties. You can make Bitcoin KYC-free for completing the bounties. If you're a developer looking to scoop up some easy sats, go check out the bounties, contribute to them, and stack some sats. Stackwork.ai.
This rip was brought to you by our official electrolyte sponsor here at RHR, Salt of the Earth. You've been hearing Matt and I talk about it quite a bit. I drink multiple packets of it a day. You got to stay hydrated. That's why my face looks so good. So I'm getting buff. I'm able to get to the gym more because I'm hydrated. Matt, he's looking incredible. I'm sure you've all noticed it. You want to know why? Salt of the Earth, baby. Go to drinksote.com, use the code RHR, and you're going to get 15% off. I'm dead serious. It's made my life way better. My wife, she's right behind me right now laughing, but she's laughing because she knows it's true. She drinks like seven a day. I drink a few a day, maybe seven a day too. Matt, I don't even want to tell you how much he's drinking. It's good. It keeps you hydrated. It keeps you alert. Keeps you ready to go. Drinksote.com. That's drinksote.com. Use the code RHR. For 15% off any order.
You've had a dynamic where money's become freer than free.
If you talk about a Fed just gone nuts, all the central banks going nuts.
So it's all acting like safe haven.
I believe that in a world where central bankers are tripping over themselves to devalue their currency, Bitcoin wins. In the world of fiat currencies, Bitcoin is the victor.
I mean, that's part of the bull case for Bitcoin.
If you're not paying attention, you probably should be.
Yeah, I've had this fireplace behind me the whole time, and I didn't realize I should shift the camera over for a better background.
Marty's been telling us that he's been waiting for the wallpaper install in his office, in his new office. And so we get into the pre-stage room before we go live, and Marty's got this beautiful fireplace behind him. He's like, "You like my fireplace?" I was like, "Did you get that installed?" He's like, "No, it's always been in the room. Just didn't point it at the beautiful brick fireplace. Instead, just pointed at the meth house wall that's unpainted."
That's on me, you know. Dad brain. We're live on X. We're live on Primal. We're live everywhere. Freaks. Welcome back to another week of RHR. We're here to tell you that we sold all of our Bitcoin. And Matt's parting ways. He's going to support me from afar. But
Marty's joking. The Ethereum rabbit hole recap competitor is completely all out of ETH. They've sold. They've pivoted to Zcash.
You think they dumped their DAO token too?
Yeah, they also launched a DAO on their audience and just rug pulled them, which was a. I mean, they were making bank for a while.
They were. I'm not one to revel in Schadenfreude, but
I kind of
put Logan.
So it keeps me going, boss.
Logan, I just want you to pull this up. This one clip always makes me laugh. Logan, you got to pull it up. It's in the private chat in Restream.
Restream chat.
Logan, how are you liking Restream? This is we're off of
Logan. Logan takes 1 week off after 8 years, and we completely changed the tech stack on him.
Where is the? Oh, it's across the screen from the other chat. Okay.
What's your take on the signal, though? I think this is I think it was always inevitable. What? The inevitable end state of the ETH cheerleaders.
I mean, look, we were right. We continue to be right.
They just keep on enabling the worst.
Do you think that
it's harder to justify what the hell we're doing here, man?
Do you think this is a layer zero problem? Is it a problem with kind of the social layer?
If we'll make these super cool applications and then scammers just can leverage them better.
As he's
we're running out of ways to explain it to normies.
As he's got the Nexo ad under.
So this, sure went under. This was during,
you about crypto, be clear, after this week.
That's the funniest struggle session.
That was during the FTX. Was during the FTX BlockFi collapse or whatever. And then they had Nexo. I mean, they were completely complicit in all that shit. I accidentally put it in both of our YouTube and Twitch chat, but I also put it in the private chat. Logan, can you pull up the screenshot that I took? It's in the private chat, but I accidentally put it in the whole audience. Did you see this one, Marty?
We're onboarded. It was like 5 years ago. I mean, this shows the time preference of those in ETH land.
Yeah, someone asked Hoffman how he could sell out all his ETH after telling everyone it was ultrasound money and being the single loudest promoter of it, to be honest. One of the largest promoters of it. And his response was, that was 5 years ago, dude. I like literally... Can you imagine sending that to a freak about Bitcoin?
No.
Like, bro, that was just 5 years ago. I told you to stay humble, stack sats, but that was 5 years ago. You should sell all your Bitcoin now. Buy Zcash.
We tell you, freaks, we're in it till zero, okay?
There'll be an RHR that week.
There will. Bitcoin goes to zero. We'll show up the next week. Week after that, it may take a break.
Then it's over, yeah.
Yeah,
but we'll definitely have a obituary episode.
Yes, it'll be a fun one. I think it'll be fun. No tears. Promise me no tears on the Bitcoin obituary episode.
Yeah, I can promise that.
Okay, freaks. I'm a little tired, a little ragged. Road warrior this week. I was in Austin for the Texas Energy and Mining Summit. Still going on. Had to get back to the Northeast. I've got to attend a gala tonight in Philadelphia and then head up to New York. So road dog week for me.
A gala. What kind of gala?
It's for some museum. One of our friends sits on a board of a museum and they're having a gala.
Did you donate?
No, I mean, it'll probably be.
Do you have a plaque?
No. We are guests of the board member.
If you do, you have to donate anonymously and then tell everyone that you're the anonymous donor.
That's the best. That's the best curbed episode. And one of the best. It's hard to pick a best curbed episode. But I will say, shout out to Rod, everybody at Bitcoin Park, Texas Energy Mining Summit, second TEMS. Not the first mining not the second mining summit, but the second Texas Energy Mining Summit. Very well attended, very high signal group of individuals in the crowd and on stage. I had the pleasure of sitting down with Gideon Powell to round up day one yesterday, talking about power generation in how it's scaled, or excuse me, data, how data centers have scaled since they started HODL Ranch in 2017. It was crazy. That was like a 150 megawatt Bitcoin mining operation at the time. It was one of the biggest, like single data centers in Texas. And now they have like gigawatt facilities popping up all over the place. Good to see many people in Freak Nation. Rob Hamilton, I'm not sure if he's in the live chat right now. He might be on stage. I know he was there, hung out with him. So our boy Joe Rogers. Shout out Jeff Reed. Michael Goldstein.
I haven't seen Joe Rogers in a while.
Yeah. BPI guys had a nice dinner last night. Good time. Guys, vibes are high.
Vibes are very high.
Vibes are immaculate right now. It's happening. But we got to start.
This is,
go ahead.
Sentiment has actually probably is incredibly low right now, but I love it. This is like the best. This is always the best period when the rage quits happen and everyone is freaking wondering if Bitcoin is dead, it's never going to happen again.
Did you see Mark Cuban rage quit again?
Mark Cuban. There was a couple other people that were. Was Ramp Capital was like, I'm no longer buying Bitcoin. Did you see that?
Yeah, but it's like a troll account. Can we trust it? Rex Capital said the same thing. I don't know if we can.
I think Ramp is. I mean, Ramp was definitely staying humble and stacking sats for a while. He's like, I'm turning off my DCA.
I'm just turning the DCA off at the worst time, like Bitcoin.
I mean, on the opposite side, the SpaceX financials came out and everyone was giving Elon shit for selling his Tesla Bitcoin. He still has a little bit of Bitcoin in Tesla. But what was his, like 18,000 Bitcoin in SpaceX?
Yeah, I think that makes him a top 10, maybe a top five treasury.
He's been stacking it private. He was stacking it privately. I mean, it makes sense. Like if you're the richest man in the world, you want to stack it. Don't stack it in the public entity, stack it in the private entity.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on the valuation 1.3 based off of the
I think numbers they have? It is a fascinating lesson in gaslighting that they're trying to make people feel happy that retail has access to the IPO price in their Robinhood accounts. They're like, look, we've given retail this wonderful opportunity to get in over $1 trillion valuation. I mean, it used to be that you could invest, you know, in these gigantic companies early on, right? They'd hit public early on. You'd have a lot of the upside available to you. But like what? Like SpaceX gets valued. If SpaceX hits a $5 trillion valuation, you got a 5X, less than a 5X. Like no one's getting rich off that.
No. And I think the numbers I saw, like based off of the financials they've put in their S1, it's like a 90X revenue multiple of evaluation, which is.
Yeah, I mean, look, a lot of people have gone poor doubting Elon. So I will not join the club on that front. I love Starlink. I think Starlink's fucking awesome. I personally am fading space data centers anytime soon until proven otherwise. I think that's kind of just a bullshit hype thing that is like an easy way to position himself as AI. What?
I think they'll eventually come, whether or not it's...
Yeah, I mean, the question is it 5 years or more?
20.
Yeah.
It's probably closer to... I would say closer
to... The way Elon talks about it, it's like 9 months away. It's like super easy problem to solve is the way he frames it. But yeah, bro has crushed the last 3 years, 4 years. When did he buy X? He overpaid for Twitter. He was in mass amounts of debt. Then he launched XAI, got super strong valuations, very strong momentum on it. Then was able to absorb X into XAI and then absorb XAI into SpaceX and then go public with SpaceX. And he's got like 90% voting shares, like almost complete control over SpaceX. And he's definitely going to then acquire Tesla. And then he'll have his dream. Yeah, because then he'll have control over Tesla. He has enough control over SpaceX that the combined entity will give him control over Tesla again. I think that is, I mean, I would, if I was a betting man, that line I would put pretty high. I don't know, like 60, 70, maybe even 80% likelihood. I wonder what Polymarket must have a market. Polymarket, SpaceX, Tesla acquisition, merger, acquisition. Tesla, SpaceX, it's at 20% by December 31st.
Yeah, I imagine this would be a 2027, 2028.
Yeah, I think it's a timing thing.
What would I just do?
I mean, it's a weird incentive, right? He's very good at navigating the related party transactions. But like the incentive is actually for him, he probably wants Tesla to lose value against SpaceX before the acquisition happens. Gives them more control, better terms. Which is like an interesting broken incentive, if you will, if you're a Tesla shareholder.
Tesla is market cap, according to Google Finance, $1.3 trillion. Yeah. It would be insane. It would be... Maybe that's how you get your multiple.
I mean, you have to think, right? There's a lot of people that own Tesla because they're bullish on Elon. And when there's another vehicle out there to be bullish on Elon in the SpaceX IPO, there's going to be a lot of people that are downsizing Tesla shares to flip it into SpaceX. So like all else equal, in 4 or 5 months, the ratio between SpaceX and Tesla should probably benefit SpaceX, I think.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it would have to IPO and then hold a $1.3 trillion valuation, which I think is...
Or a pump.
Going to be standing on a lot of hot air of future potential space explorations. But they did just sign a deal with Anthropic. I don't know if you saw that. I think Anthropic's paying them like $1.9 billion a month.
Yeah, I mean, it shows how bad Anthropic's infrastructure build-out has been.
Well, either that or just like how insatiable the demand for tokens is and the infrastructure just can't support it yet.
I mean, I don't know if you've noticed, because I know you're like mostly in the vertically integrated Claude world. But like if you're using multiple models, like if you're building stuff and hitting GPT and hitting Claude and hitting, I don't know, like Kimi or whatever you're hitting, or Gemini, like Claude is by far the least reliable. It's constantly just giving failed outputs at like random times, which indicates to me that they have like, I guess, demand to capacity, they've been the most stretched thin out of any of the big guys.
Yeah. I mean, I've only had one instance this week where it says can't provide you an output or
system. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if they, like people that are hitting through like PPQ or OpenRouter or Venice, like the people that are hitting through the proxies, they throttle them more than like their vertically integrated KYC API customers, right?
Yeah. Yeah. But for what it's worth, we do use multiple models. We use Claude and GPT.
I think Claude has all the hype, but this stuff changes so quick. GPT-5.5, I think, is the best of the frontier models right now. Like all around everything, if you're going to like net it all out.
Yeah, we've been using it a lot more internally here. Martin, my OpenClaw bot, he's been using a lot this week. But we are almost 16 minutes in. Excuse me, more than 15 minutes in. We got to get to the dashboard. The current price of Bitcoin is 77,750 cuckbucks. Bit of a dump since last week, freaks. We are at 1,286 sats per cuckbuck. We're at a $1.56 trillion market cap. We're at block height, 950,399, less than 100,000 blocks away from the next block subsidy halving, which is currently can't find the stat here. Clark, where is it? While I look for that, where is it? Havings. 99,601 blocks away. April 11th, 2028, as of right now. But that's far out. What's not far out? It's the next difficulty adjustment. It is in 1,153 blocks, which is estimated to be on May 29th, 2026, looking like a negative 1.3% adjustment right now. Blocks have been coming in 10 minutes and 11 seconds on average since the last adjustment, which was right after last week's show, and that was an upwards adjustment of 3.1%. Clark has 7,562 transactions in his mempool. If we go to mempool.space, we'll see they have 109,241 transactions. Mempool's getting full. 4 sats per V-byte. Expensive fee market right now. If you're looking to get in the next block, if you're willing to wait, low priority transactions are going for 1 sat per V-byte right now. That's the state of the network. And as we like to do here at RHR, we're going to open up with security disclosures. This one coming from one of the big dogs in the software industry, GitHub, announced earlier this week that they were sharing additional details regarding our investigation into unauthorized access to GitHub's internal repositories. Yesterday, we detected and contained a compromise of an employee device involving a poison VS Code extension. We removed a malicious extension version, isolated the endpoint, and began incident response immediately. Our current assessment is that the activity involved exfiltration of GitHub internal repositories only. The attacker's current claims of around 3,800 repositories are directionally consistent with our investigation so far. We moved quickly to reduce the risk. Critical secrets were rotated yesterday and overnight with highest impact credentials prioritized first. We continue to analyze logs, validate secret rotation, and monitor for any follow-on activity. We will take additional action as the investigation warrants. We'll publish a fuller report once the investigation is complete. That was yesterday. This news broke earlier this week, and the initial reports were pretty bad. Apparently, I think it was believed that it wasn't contained to GitHub's internal repositories only, and thought that anybody that was hosting code repositories on GitHub was exposed to this. And if so, all their sort of credentials hidden in .env files, tokens, API tokens, passwords, things like that were susceptible to being rugged by the attackers. So yet another example. This seems to be a growing theme in the world of AI, of security vulnerabilities being exposed and exploited by malicious attackers. And this one, at least initially, was looking like it could be really bad for anybody using GitHub. GitHub is claiming that it only resulted in corruption of their internal repositories that the company uses.
Yeah, so when was GitHub was acquired by Microsoft a couple years ago? And 2018, wow, fuck, man, time flies. So now it's a Microsoft company. It remains like one of the single biggest honeypots in like all of tech. It's not a great situation. I don't pretend to have the solution. OpenSats has funded some Nostr stuff like NGit. But the network effect on GitHub is just elite. It's really hard to break network effects. Obviously, GitLab exists. Some people self-host with GitLab. But the social elements of GitHub, the network effect aspects, have made it very hard to unseat. But anyway, if you're out there and you're managing software and you're reliant on GitHub, at the very least, make sure you have backups. But yeah, you really shouldn't. I wouldn't trust them with anything that you wouldn't want to be public. Like it's one thing if you're managing false repos, all the code is open source anyway. But I think there's a bunch of people with private repos that are second guessing their decisions right now.
Yeah. What is the Nostr alternative?
I think NGIT is the most popular one right now. NGIT, surprisingly good name for a Nostr project.
Yeah. Git collaboration without the platform. Great, great looking website too. Gitworkshop.dev. Great name. Confusing domain name based off of the name of the project. Gitworkshop.dev. People are sleeping on Nostr, man. I think you have it on the list, but we'll get to it later. Some interesting Nostr projects out there right now. Next up on the list, they announced this after we recorded RHR last week. Would have been great to cover it as breaking news, but
intentionally.
Iran launches a Bitcoin-powered maritime insurance platform called Hormuz Safe. It's being reported by Bitcoin News. Your friends over there, shout out Rob and the team there. Bitcoin confirmed as part of Iran's Strait of Hormuz toll plans. Iran has reportedly launched Hormuz Safe, a sovereign-backed maritime insurance platform allowing ships crossing the Strait of Hormuz to purchase coverage using Bitcoin. According to the Iranian state-linked reports, the platform offers daily verified insurance certificates, encrypted authentication systems, and rapid coverage for vessels operating the Persian Gulf and surrounding waterways. Documents cited by Fars news agency claim Iran's economy ministry has been developing the framework since early May as part of broader strategy to manage shipping through Hormuz using insurance liability guarantees and maritime certification systems. Iranian media claims the initiative could eventually generate more than $10 billion in annual revenue if widely adopted. This move comes, obviously, as tensions rise and in the aftermath of the law enforcement agencies of the world in conjunction with OFAC and Tether freezing hundreds of millions of dollars of USDT that was believed to be owned by the IRGC, they are wisening up and realizing that Bitcoin is not a centralized stablecoin. It is a decentralized peer-to-peer digital cash system with no central authority, where UTXOs are maybe not impossible to freeze, but extremely hard to freeze. Reaching, again, depending on how hash rate is distributed, I imagine it's going to be very hard for people to stop Iran from transacting in Bitcoin, receiving and sending Bitcoin eventually. And so I think I said it with John Arnold earlier this week when we did the 1031 timestamp recap that I think this is probably the biggest headline of the year. Everybody's focus is on capital here in the United States, Clarity Act, all that stuff. Obviously, Michael Saylor acquiring Bitcoin in the many ways in which he is with the stretch and strike. And then, of course, you have Strive Asset Management and Stata. A lot of the focus has been there, and there's been a lot of headlines in regards to TradFi and big corporates' foray into Bitcoin. But I think this may be the biggest headline of the year so far.
First of all, I've been loving Arnold whole recap, so thanks for that. And yeah, I agree with you. I think this is probably the biggest news of the year on the Bitcoin side. Regardless of how you feel about it, right? Bitcoin is a neutral network. People you don't like might use it, and there's nothing you can do to stop it. Two pieces here. First of all, I think it's interesting that they've switched the framing from tolls to insurance, which is very mature of them.
Is it mature though? It's like insurance. It's like you have to pay us.
Yeah, it's like a mafia tactic. It's a mafia tactic. We're going to
blow up your ship.
It's we'll a protection ensure
that you don't get right? that you don't get a bomb thrown your way.
Yeah, I know, but at least like they clearly have some guys that can think about PR over there, right? And they're like, okay, people will appreciate insurance more than tolls. But yeah, it's a protection racket. And then the second piece, I think, which will be interesting, is if they do successfully keep this up, and the U.S. government tries to block these payments, the fact of the matter is they're not going to be able to block these payments. And so the realization by the market that Bitcoin truly is censorship resistant at a global scale, I think is not really priced in, right? I think it's one of those things is like, okay, you can run the numbers, you can look at code, you can look at like the technical specifics and make a conclusion that Bitcoin's censorship resistant. It's a completely different thing to have a government that's actively at war with the United States using Bitcoin as money and not being able to stop them.
Yeah. Well, I've seen split takes on this. Some people are saying I'm in this camp. I think it's extremely bullish for all the reasons you just laid out, but there's another camp that's saying this is the most dangerous time in Bitcoin's history in some time, because it draws the ire of the US government. And who's to say that OFAC and the powers that be in the US government won't try to pressure mining pools to reject transactions coming from particular wallets potentially associated with Iran's toll collection or insurance collection scheme, excuse me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was going to happen regardless, right? So best to just get it out the way. Also, yeah, it's not our decision to make. It's Iran's decision to make.
Yeah. Well, let's explain to the freaks what if the US and OFAC were to say, all right, we don't like this. We were able to freeze your Tether. We need to figure out a way to freeze your Bitcoin now. The mandate would likely be mining pools, again, if you include a transaction coming from any of these wallet addresses that we assume to be owned by the Iranian government, you're going to be liable for, facilitating international wire fraud or something like that.
Right. And so then those mining pools, first of all, it depends how Iran does it, right? If Iran does address reuse, then it would be more obvious to detect which payments are theirs. If they do Bitcoin privacy best practices and don't reuse addresses and provide a fresh address for every transaction, it'll be harder to detect. Specifically, they have to detect while it's in mempools, right? Not after the block has been mined. So they need quick detection, first of all, and then they need to then go and coerce the US-based mining pools into not including the transaction in the block. Now, that doesn't stop other mining pools from including the transaction in the block. And right now, mining centralization isn't great. It's been a lot worse in the past. But one of the things in terms of a global settlement network that Bitcoin does have going for it is the hash rate is significantly split between Chinese mining pools and US-based mining pools. Like it's like 45% US-based and then 45% Chinese-based and then like 10% neutral, or like doesn't fit into either of those groups. And so when you have that kind of detente, is the US government going to be able to convince Chinese-based mining pools not to do it? No. And so then you have a situation where, okay, maybe 40, 45% of the hash is actively censoring these transactions and not including them in blocks. Are they not going to build on top of the blocks that have already been mined? No, they probably will, because otherwise they're going to lose a ton of money and it'd be very high risk for them to try and orphan any blocks that come out of China. So in practice, I think it's very hard to pull off and incredibly unlikely. But once again, like, I think the US government should think very clearly here, because it can cause a Streisand effect in the opposite direction. If they try and stop it and fail, I think it could be argued that it'd be way worse for US interests than if they don't try at all.
Agreed. You mentioned privacy best practices, obviously no address reuse. Could you imagine a scheme where like Iran's like, okay, here's how it's going to work. You're going to buy the insurance. It's going to be a 24-hour period. Okay, here's not one address, but here's four. And you have to do transaction broadcasts disparately throughout the next 24 hours in unequal amounts to these four addresses in this way.
Yeah, exactly. That would be very hard to stop.
Yeah.
Like pretty much as close to impossible as you can get. That being said, by the way, I mean, I think if they did do address reuse and got away with doing address reuse, it would make a much cleaner, more transparent system. It's like not necessarily the worst decision for them, particularly if they're splitting fees with Oman, right? I think if you're like thinking about like what is a long-term situation look like here, a long-term situation looks like, you know, Oman and them control the strait together and they split fees 50%, but they don't trust each other. If they use reused addresses, it'd be very obvious, right? It's like, okay, I send a payment to both addresses at the same time. You can see on chain that I sent it to both of you. And then I have a signed basically receipt that says that I did it rather than, you know, trusting the Iranian government to not take your Bitcoin and then not let you through.
What about multisig?
I mean, I think that's a little bit ridiculous. But yes, they could presumably have a multisig vault that is two of three split between Iran, Oman, and a neutral third party. But yeah, I think this is fascinating. I think it is probably the biggest news of the year on the Bitcoin side.
Want to say hi? Say hi to Uncle Matt. Just say hi. Don't go to the camera. Just say hi.
I heard you. Hey, it's back. I won't dox them.
Kids are back. They have off from school today and tomorrow.
Why? Exactly. Memorial Day. Is it Memorial Day weekend?
Yeah. No, it's a 3-day weekend to start. Like, why do they turned it into a 5-day weekend? It's insane. I love it though. Love having the kids in. But no, it is fascinating. And yeah, I wonder if they do. I mean, this is a very big hypothetical. We have no idea how it's going to work, but it's cool to play out the different scenarios that could play out. Like if they are able to successfully design a way that gives them a high degree of privacy and it's hard to detect on chain, I wonder if the US government then pressures the shipping companies. I mean, that's the other, like, Iran can set this up in a way where it's like incredibly private and the ship gets to the strait and they're like, yeah, here's where I sent it. Like,
yeah. I mean, the US government can just assume that any ship that went through the strait participated in the scheme, right? It's like, okay, like that's where you obviously can't get privacy from physically moving a freighter through a strait. So there's that.
Yeah.
Like they can just seize the ship. They can't seize the Bitcoin, but they could seize the ship. Yeah. It's easier to seize the ship than it is to seize the Bitcoin.
Yeah. But I don't think we're not in a position to be seizing ships right now, brother. I'm not sure if you've seen the price of WTI recently. We need to get these ships flowing. Well, that's the other thing too. Like,
I mean, he's done it. He's done a couple, didn't they? They blew out the engine of one. They've done like these like SEAL Team 6 helicopter ship capture things a couple times. And I think outside of Venezuela, they did it at least once.
Yeah.
Like the US government technically has the capability. It's kind of wild to think about, like, two helicopters with special forces to take over a ship is easier than seizing Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Like, that's a very intense operation. That's not, like, a lot of things can go wrong. Still easier than seizing Bitcoin.
That's what I'm saying, man. This headline, I mean, again, unemotional, just a observer of the happenings of the geopolitical realm. This is the most interesting / bullish validation of Bitcoin censorship resistance fundamental properties that I've seen in some time. And we're saying all this and we have no degree of confidence if it's actually happened already.
Or like how real it is.
We did some, I mean, I think there was like official Iranian government sites that were saying.
Who the hell knows?
All right, we'll keep you guys.
I mean, it's like a Squarespace website. It's like they use like the fucking template. It's a template website.
Well, it's a website coming out of Iran, and we know they haven't had internet for 52 days.
So first of all, it's been like 80 days, And then second of all, that's just for like the average people. The government has internet.
That's what I'm saying. So you can assume it's the government.
Yeah, true. Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, we got a bunch of zaps in our Noster live stream or the Ride or Die Freaks Dwell. You can access it in any Noster app that supports live streams, including Primal in your favorite app store by searching Rabbit Hole Recap, RHR. Mav21 zapped 21,000 sats. Thank you, sir. BVDIB zapped 21,000 sats. Operation Bitcoin Memorial Day Telehash, May 22nd to 25th. This Memorial Day weekend, Bitcoin miners from around the world are coming together to support military veterans through a hash rate donation. Operation Bitcoin is a veteran-run 501c3 providing education in Bitcoin, energy, and freedom technology. Mine for the mission, support veteran education. Learn how to donate at operationbitcoin.io. Love the Bitcoin veteran guys. Thank you for the zap. Try and keep the messages a little bit shorter in the future. Bitter 21 zapped 21,000 sats.
It's Memorial Day.
Is on fire.
They can write a long zap on Memorial
Look,
Day weekend.
I read okay? it. I read it. I still read. I read the whole thing. So miners zapped 42,069 sats. Just hit 200 orders this morning with Freaks using code RHR. Appreciate you, Matt and Marty. Let's fucking go. And then also, we missed a giga zap.
I saw that by Plebe Anon.
Yeah, I mean it was partially his fault because he zapped like the main account rather than the video. But once he brought it to our attention, we definitely want to give that a read. He zapped 121,121 sats. Palindrome zap, mega zap. This is Plebe Anon. I feel your guys' pain of the hollow support of our samurai boys, and I feel your pain on the shifting demographics in Bitcoin. However, the past conference was invigorating. So many people building so much awesome stuff. It's sad, and we should take a moment to know why it's depressing, but also glorious. We are going to win. Also, SRV died in a helicopter crash, a way sadder day than any STRC on Solana day. Who's SRV?
I have no idea.
Probably get like, made fun of for not knowing who SRV is, who died in a helicopter crash.
Oh, Stevie Ray Vaughan. That's what we're talking about.
There you go.
Yeah. Austin's own. Stevie Ray Vaughan. To your point, though, we were talking about it last week. I hung out with Hoddle Tarantula, who's doing...
Oh, I love that dude.
He's been doing off-grid Bitcoin mining since 2017. And that ride or die, sovereignty or nothing... spirit still exists. There are dozens of us out there.
More than there ever have been.
Yeah.
Up and to the right. We're just a small percentage.
Yeah. Oh yeah. McCoy's reminding us too. Like if you're flowing through the Schrader reviews and you want 10% off your insurance, use the code RHR.
That's how you know it's legit. If they have a RHR discount code.
Your $10 million insurance has dropped to $9 million. It's a big savings.
That would be wild. That'd be wild. We might have to end Rabbit Hole Recap if that happened.
What if we have an IRGC freak who listens and he's trolling us at the toll?
That would be peak. That would be like a mic drop, end of the show.
Daniel W, did you get him? 21,000 sats. No message. Thank you for the zaps, freaks. Brings joy to us in the comments. An RHR code at the straight. Hey, if you're a shipper out there and you're crossing the straight and your boss is saying, hey, this is an expensive insurance policy, like you need to cut the budget wherever you can. Try the code RHR at the very least. It's you trying to cut the budget by using code RHR for 10% off your insurance policy. So just give it a try. All right, next up on the list, we've got talked about SpaceX holding nearly 19,000 Bitcoin valued at $1.29 billion. Big headline this week. We already talked about it, so we don't have to belabor the point, but Macroscope. Great follow. Macroscope 17. If you're not following him on X, go follow him.
Yeah, he's great. Always has been. Very consistent.
Yes. Next up on the list from... Infra, our boy Robert, was quote tweeting the fact that Donald Trump made more than 3,700 trades in just the first quarter, according to CNBC. Infra saying that's 60 trades a day.
Yeah, I just put this in there because we were talking about it last week. Like, come on, bro. Like, I
saw JD Vance was making comments on this. He was like, no, the president isn't making trade. Like, who's managing? Like, I thought you had to sell all your assets.
No, I mean, Trump always figures out what is not actually a rule and what is just like common decency that has been done in the past. And so technically, like, his accounts are not in a blind trust. And I mean, I think we've seen a level of corruption and like personal enrichment and family enrichment that is on a scale that just, it's hard to comprehend. Like, it is significant. And it's not just crypto stuff. Like, it is also obviously mainstream equity plays and whatnot, buildings. I don't know. They keep announcing Trump Towers in like different countries that want to win our favor. I mean, just like, okay, fine. You don't have a blind trust. Fine. You're still actively managing your money. Okay. You end up buying things that are like pro-America, and then your policies end up pumping the stock. But 60 trades a day is like a whole nother level. Like, can you imagine doing 60 trades a day? Like, if you're going to do insider trading, like, do like 4 insider trades a quarter, you know, like, do like nice, humble insider trading.
Get some size. Just get some size. Lever up, brother.
Yeah. Do like $1 million, $10 million a trade, and do like 5 trades a quarter before you have like a new policy that pumps the stock. Like, this is a whole nother, like, it's just egregious. And I actually don't have it on the list. But like, also the tax thing that came out this week.
What tax thing?
Where he's like, him and his family are like,
never again.
Yeah, he ran on like getting rid of taxes for all of us. Our taxes are higher than when he came into office. And now he has no taxes for life, basically. Because if you tell someone they're never going to get audited, you basically have no taxes for life. Yeah. Fucking slap in the face. I think, and so egregious.
I mean, I think he's got to sign a law now that says no American can be audited by the IRS because it is illegitimate.
Yeah, he should just get rid of all taxes. Print the money. Yeah. Print the money plus tariffs. All federal taxes, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that is...
It is getting weird. Thomas Massie successfully primary today.
And then like AIPAC going out and bragging about it. Like, that felt like a mafia tactic. Like, just shut the fuck up. Like, why? You got to rub it in our faces that the Israeli money knocked out the 2 anti-Israeli politicians. The only 2 that really wanted to get out the Epstein list on the Republican side, at least.
Yeah. It's very odd. I mean, I'm sure you saw the headline in, what is it? Hatzert, the Israeli paper, like the main headline. The morning of the primary election was the most important U.S. election in Israel, that is consequential to Israel's today. It's like, whoa.
They spent over $20 million on the opposition candidate for Massey, I think. Most expensive congressional.
I thought it was over 30.
Take it. Yeah, there you go. It's fucking insane. I think they might have fucked up with Massey, though. He seems like he's not done yet. This might have invigorated him to go harder. But that AIPAC tweet specifically was incredibly fucked up. Like, AIPAC doing it in the first place was fucked up, but then immediately bragging about it. It's just extra fucked up and just shows a level of cockiness.
Hey man, you know, you're going to get called an anti-Semite now. You know that.
I'm looking at I don't even know how to pronounce this game. This is AIPAC tweet. Ed Gallarin's victory in Kentucky and Clay Fuller's win in Georgia ensures 2 outspoken pro-Israel voices are positioned to fill seats previously held by outspoken detractors, Thomas Massie and Marjorie Taylor Greene. Our community was proud to help pro-Israeli candidates win these races.
When it comes to Massey, too, it's not like he was like anti-Israel at all. Like, he's always been a staunch, like, no foreign aid for anybody. Like, and he just held out in some foreign aid bills specifically for Israel. And they're like, you need to get primary now.
It's all a scam.
Yeah.
The rules don't matter.
Do you think the it was rules a
are for us, our average people? The elites don't play by them.
Do you think it was a rigged election?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's one a good chance that it was blatantly rigged. Yeah. But even if it wasn't, just the outside money coming in. I mean, did you see like the donor breakdown in the Massey race specifically? It was like 10 to 1. Massey had him like 10 to 1, like individual small Kentucky donors. All the money came from out of state, out of country, in the opposition side.
Yeah, Miriam Adelson, she's a lot of influence.
What is her relation to Sheldon?
They're married.
It's the wife.
Yeah. He died. She took over. I'm pretty sure she's like, I think she's like, I don't even know. She's Israeli American. I thought she was just an Israeli citizen. She's born there. And it is weird. It's, I mean, we don't have to get into it that too deep down that hole, but it is like, you get yelled at for being like, I don't think of any foreign country. I'm Irish American. No Irish passport or anything. I have Irish heritage, but I got, it's like the Irish tried to influence elections here. I'd hold my hand up and say, hey, Irish people, thank you. But please leave our elections alone. Worry about what's going on in your neck of the woods, okay? I don't know. Crazy times. I didn't even see this headline. Why is this a headline? What? The U.S. can't lose the Bitcoin race to China, the next global power competition.
Well, you skipped one, but since we're on it, I mean, the only reason this is interesting is because it's a congressman who wrote it in CoinDesk. So, like, it's a congressman basically saying what we've been saying, which is if you care about this country and this country flourishing over the next 100 years, like, we need to have a logical, reasonable Bitcoin strategy, and America should be the best place to run a Bitcoin business, should be the best place to own and use Bitcoin. And there should be, it shouldn't even be close. Like, we should by far dominate on that front. And even if you hate Bitcoin, if you hate China more, it behooves you to have, at the very least, not, you know, malicious legislation and aggressive government action against Bitcoiners.
Yeah.
Like, at least stand by.
Yeah. And my fault. Two Trump things in a row. I thought I was going on to the next topic. I forgot it was.
I was trying to keep it on theme.
I know. I took it off theme, but we brought that up from Congressman Good. And because the Rage is reporting, our girl Lola Leitz, that Trump signed an executive order that expands the Bank Secrecy Act. He signed an EO to expand the BSA that is likely to disproportionately affect naturalized citizens, green card holders, and low-income households. Just 2 days before Congress set to hold a hearing on the modernization of the Bank Secrecy Act, President Trump signed an executive order titled Restoring Integrity to America's Financial System to Strengthen Customer Identification Requirements for Financial Institutions and Address the Credit Risk Allegedly Posed by Illegal Immigrants. How does it expand the Bank Secrecy Act? The order directs the Secretary of the Treasury in consultation with federal financial regulators to propose changes to Bank Secrecy Act regulations to strengthen customer due diligence requirements and the authority to obtain additional information when warranted, ensuring institutions can identify the true owners of the accounts when necessary to assess risk related to unlawful activity. And the order directs the Secretary of Treasury and federal financial regulators to consider changes to the Bank Secrecy Act to strengthen customer identification program requirements, including accounting for the risk that foreign consular identification cards pose to the U.S. financial system. We're KYC. We're BSA.
Yeah, I mean, this goes to, like, Trump and his allies very much realized that the MAGA base is most willing to accept additional surveillance and control if it's in the name of fighting illegal immigration. This is a trend we've seen from the very beginning. It logically flows and makes sense. It's a good tactic for them, and they're using this tactic again. By the way, on the Trump-Israel thing, did you see his comment this week where he was like, I'm so popular in Israel.
Got 99% support.
I might go and run for prime minister of Israel after we're done. So, I mean, they've been saying the quiet parts being said out loud now, which is just wild. And people are so desensitized. I don't even know how much it matters.
You think they're desensitized? I think more people are like, whoa, what's going on here? What's going on here, Donald? Everybody loved Thomas Massey. I mean, not everybody. Obviously,
Trump. A lot of people did.
A lot of people. I did. I mean,
yeah. I mean,
staunch constitutional republic defender, and
he felt like one of the few good ones.
Yeah,
there aren't many.
Yeah, everybody's like, I mean, I don't know, like the 5D chess, Patriots in Control. People were like, oh, this is like a big, we're taking down the European rich families, and they're in a war, and Massey wasn't on board. Like, that's their whole thing. It's like, he wasn't on board to take
down
the
money elite. Did you see Ted Cruz's tweet? Ted Cruz quoted
the tweet. Very disappointed he said this.
No, it was even worse. He said he shouldn't have said this, which was his comment when he came out. He was like, I was trying to concede the election, but I couldn't find my opponent in Tel Aviv. Or like, I had trouble finding my opponent in Tel Aviv. And Ted Cruz quote tweeted it and was like, he shouldn't have said this. It felt like a threat.
He said, I wish he wouldn't have said this, I think is what he said.
Doesn't that sound like a threat? That's like
no, it sounds like a cuck. It sounds like a cuck.
Kind of sounds like a threat. Or what?
Oh yeah, right? I can see it. The comments, the number one comment on that that quote tweet was Tel Aviv Ted. I think that's an incredible nickname.
Yeah, I mean, well deserved. BV Dib, zap 21,000 sats, short message for Odell, operationbitcoin.io. Go there. They zapped again. Happy Memorial Day. Appreciate you, veterans.
What was I going to say? Oh, Bank Secrecy Act. Back to that. Double reverse here.
Double reverse.
Came up at dinner last night. Some added context. Chatham House closed private room dinner. Not that it was just like we were literally in a room, it was closed, but I don't feel like I have
permission. Chatham House is a good default. We can talk about what was said, but not who said it.
Yeah. BSA, when it was originally passed, it was similar to like the, from what I was told, similar to like the Federal Reserve Act, where they passed it like late at night and just like barely got through, but they just pushed it through and nobody was paying attention. Apparently in some point in the 1970s, maybe the 1980s, there was a Supreme Court ruling that was very close. It was 5-4 in favor of deeming that the Bank Secrecy Act as written back then was constitutional. However, in the dissent, it was very like, this is Fourth Amendment violation and all that. And
unreasonable search and seizure. No warrant, see your financial transactions.
But in the fours, I think this is where the signal is. The fours is like, hey, we can see that, but like we need the ability to surveil these types of transactions of $10,000 because they're so large at the time. The justification for those who said it was constitutional is that the amount that the threshold is set at is so large that your average American will never trigger a suspicious activity report that would deem it necessary for us to collect all this information. Fast forward to today and $10,000. It's like, if you were to look at the number of $10,000 transactions being made compared to the 1970s, I would be comfortable in saying it's probably like two or three orders of magnitude more than it was back then.
Yeah, you fix, if the threshold's fixed and it's based in fiat, then it's effectively going down every year in terms of scope, and it hoovers up more transactions. It applies to more transactions. And then, I mean, you see banks voluntarily go even lower than that. I mean, I had to pay someone with Zelle the other day. Don't even get me fucking started. But like, it was a $2,000 daily limit. It's like, okay. It's like, what kind of transactions do you think I'm trying to pay someone? Like $2,000. It was a contractor. It's like, okay, that's fucking insane.
Well, I had this problem. Like
a completely useless limit.
I had this problem too. I had like a contractor I had to pay last week. He's like, can you Zelle me? I was like, no. Like, I need to give you way more money than my Zelle limit unless you want me to pay you over the course of like the next 7 days. Like, I'll do it, but just send me your wire info.
Yeah, that's what I did. I had to pay over. Yeah, I guess I could have wired, but still, it's ridiculous. It's a ridiculous situation we find ourselves in. And by the way, this is very similar to what's happening in South Africa right now. I did emergency dispatch last week. Search Cyril Dispatch in your favorite podcast app. I mean, South Africa is basically a war on Bitcoin self-custody happening. And the South African Treasury Department realized that they could revise a 1930s law to pass this thing without parliamentary support. So they don't actually need any votes to make it happen. And there's a vague threshold piece in it that it only applies to Bitcoin transactions over a certain threshold, but they haven't told anybody what the threshold is. And even if they do tell people what the threshold is, they could either lower it in the future, or inflation on the South African rand will just make that threshold absolutely tiny and apply to like a shit ton of fucking transactions. So right now, South African Bitcoiners, where like South Africa has punched way above its weight population-wise in terms of Bitcoin adoption. Some of the best Bitcoin adoption stories we've seen in the world have happened in South Africa. They're all very organic. I mean, we have Bitcoin Akazi there that's helping children. It's like a super wholesome story. There's Money Badger. So I had Erman and Karel. Erman is from Bitcoin Akazi, and Karel is Money Badger. Money Badger lets you like pay at like 40,000 locations with Bitcoin. Like wild capability of being able to use Bitcoin in your day-to-day life. And they're sounding the alarm. But so the South African Bitcoiners have assembled and they're putting in like public statements, right? And the reason they're putting in these public statements is because even though it's likely that the Treasury, the Treasury railroads them anyway and passes this thing, there is technically a public review period. And if there's like sane arguments against it in the public review period, then when they try and legally challenge it after it's passed, it's more likely to be successfully fought. So all these Bitcoiners put in public statements, and I found out from Erman today that the Treasury Department publicly CC'd emailed every Bitcoiner who sent in an email. So all their emails got doxed.
What?
Which is either like gross incompetence or intentional. But it's pretty fucked up what's happening in South Africa right now. If you want, like I said, go listen to Cyril Dispatch, but also propertyrightsdefense.org.
Wait.
They're accepting like, Bitcoin donations for the legal fight if you're not South African and you want to support.
Guys, I would just rip the Band-Aid off. I mean, I'm not one to say run from home, but I think the situation in South Africa has been deteriorating for many years now and is at the point where, I don't know. It's not like, what was their perspective? Like, are they I mean, obviously they're worried, but are they thinking about cutting bait and jumping ship? Or?
I mean, it's their home, man. It's hard to leave your home. And I mean, like Erman specifically, like he's built like this community of like 500 kids who's like educating and teaching them like real world skills, and they're earning Bitcoin. Like he would have to basically abandon all of them.
Yeah. Yeah. It sucks. So when the government CC'd all of them, Was it like an email where it's like, hey, we saw your comment and it is acknowledged that it was received? Was it an email like that, or are they?
So I got this from Armand this morning. It's like what I woke up to. An employee replied to an email comment submission and replied all to everybody.
How do you reply all?
I don't know.
All right, we got.
It was
move
probably
on.
My guess is it was probably incompetence.
Yes, I think a high degree of likelihood.
We did. I mean, we did talk about. We did talk about the Bitcoiners out there that are, like, we had actually a really interesting conversation about. Okay, like Armand and Karel are public Bitcoiners already, right? Me and you are public Bitcoiners already. As a result, I feel like uniquely compelled when I see bad U.S. regulation and bad U.S. Bitcoin policy to push back and fight against it. But I completely respect the many Bitcoiners out there that are relatively private. Maybe they're not known Bitcoiners, and you know they don't want to stick their neck out. And so we had a long conversation about that in South Africa. And I mean, there's thousands of them in South Africa, right? Bitcoiners that have practiced pretty good privacy, never been public about it. And they're definitely questioning, do I shut the fuck up and I stay? Do I shut the fuck up and leave? Or do I speak up and try and, you know, make sure that South Africa is not like a complete shithole to live in for my kids?
Well,
it's a hard decision. There's no easy answer there.
The optics outside look. In and I'm not, I don't have any boots on the ground. You have boots on the ground reports. I don't. The optics, who knows if I'm being one-shotted by the rage bait algo or not. But it, I mean, for many years, it looks like it's deteriorating. And I think you may be trying to reason with an unreasonable government. I don't think they care what you have to say.
Yeah, I don't know. Go listen to the podcast.
Yeah. We got to get going. I just got the eyes from the wife. Get ready for the gala. It's time to get ready for the gala.
Is she already dressed?
No, she wants to start getting ready, though, and I need to take care of the boys. Hoddle Hoddle, friend of the show, 1031 portfolio company, launches Lightning Trading on mainnet. Long time coming. Shout out to Anna and the team there. Obviously, Max, another implementation with Arcade here.
Love to see it.
Yeah.
So just to be clear, from like a practical point of view, you can go on Hoddle Hoddle. You can buy Bitcoin peer-to-peer in a non-custodial, no KYC fashion and receive it over Lightning. You can go buy $5 if you want. Historically, their implementation has required on-chain, which obviously added a lot of friction, made it more difficult for smaller amounts, prohibitively expensive, if you will, for smaller amounts. This seems like a huge product add.
Definitely is. I mean, they've been working on this for a while. And I think not only a huge product add, but another validation of these emergent second layer protocols becoming extremely useful. Arc is the protocol, Arcade is the implementation. Oh, I guess, yeah, there's you have second Arc protocols.
I don't know. Dude, it's so fucking confusing.
Dude, we gotta get guys.
What other way to make it as confusing as possible?
I saw Mr. Hoddle hopped in on the Zap.stream. He's listening on Noster. We need better names for protocols for companies. Arcade, shout out to Tiero, Kooks, Alex Bergeron, guys, great name. Calling Arc Protocol the Arc Protocol when they're like, there's
competing. But Arcade's by Arc Labs, right?
Yes, by Arc Labs. But they also run their own like ASP. I could be wrong. They could be yelling at me right now. But it's great to see. It seems very useful. I was actually talking with Sahil yesterday, who's working at Arcade. He's very bullish. It's great to see. It's happening. I don't know if we're going to have our overlays here. Logan, were you able to bring over the overlays?
Yes.
Because it is the Human Rights Foundation Financial Freedom Report Story of the Week section of the show, which is coming out of Thailand this week, where cash handouts expands where cash handout expands state digital payments. Thailand's regime approved the Thai Help Thai Plus scheme, a 175 billion baht relief program covering more than 43 million people. State welfare cardholders will receive 1,000 baht per month automatically, while 30 million others can register through the Pao Tang app for a 60-40 co-payment benefit worth up to 4,000 baht over 4 months. The funds can only be used at participating merchants between 6 a.m. and 11 p.m. Wow, they're really going for it here. Through the state-linked wallet app, and cash withdrawals are prohibited. The program may help households facing surging fuel and living costs, but it also deepens reliance on government-controlled digital payment infrastructure. When economic relief is tied to identification apps, spending rules, and approved merchants, support can quickly become another layer of state control. For more stories like this, make sure you go sign up for the Financial Freedom Report at financialfreedomreport.org.
Yeah, I mean, I highlighted this one because I think this is something that we're going to continue to see globally, which is the technique, and we've seen it in America too, like the early stages of it. But the technique is you make the people very, very poor, and then you can just give them like the smallest of bribes to go along with your surveillance control techniques.
Is this considered universal high income?
Universal high income logically cannot exist. BTC Sessions zapped us 21,000 sats. Come to the sat market in Calgary on Friday, June 26th. Bitcoin is money.
BTC Sessions, is that during the Calgary rodeo? I got asked yesterday if I was going to the Calgary rodeo. I would love to. I wonder if that...
I've heard good things.
Yeah, I have too. I love rodeos, man. Big rodeo guy. Da, 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 da. Sparrow Wallet, big update from our friend.
Oh, wait, we got to read boosts.
Oh. Let me pull it up.
Rimal.net/RHR. I'll pull up the Noster side. You pull up the Podcasting 2.0 side. On Noster, our highest sap of the week, and the only one over 21,000 sats was 22,222 sats from McCoy. Zapping privately freedom money.
Hell yeah. Nothing above 21,000 sats on podcast apps.
That's
there you go. Mr.
Hoddle. We've destroyed our rankings on Fountain Podcast because it's all based on the Podcasting 2.0 boosts. But now they're all the boosts are coming in through Noster. So we just don't get.
We were never in it for the rankings. You know this.
Of course not. We're just in it for the masochism.
Yes, it is. And it does get masochistic at times, Freaks. You know. We will never cry. Bitcoin goes to zero. We're not going to cry. We're going to show up, but we're not going to cry.
Well, no. We might cry, but not because Bitcoin went to zero.
No, it'll be tears of time well spent over the
better. There's been a couple episodes where I've almost cried. But it is never Bitcoin related. It's always other shit.
Yeah. Big software update from the Sparrow Wallet team. Version 2.5.0 has been released, and it finally adds
massive
silent payment support.
And so this uses Craig Raw. Can we just have like?
F's in the chat for Craig Raw.
Bro is a legend among men. There's like a few people in the space that just like carry us all, and Craig is one of them. But he's single-handedly trying to make silent payments the standard. They're just strictly superior from a privacy point of view. It basically makes address reuse impossible. Now the biggest issue is scanning. So he came up with his own basically like Electrum server plugin he calls Frigate that uses GPU acceleration to do the scanning in a performant way. So this obviously works with that. Multi-sig is going to be a tough nut to crack. Obviously you can send from multi-sig to single sig and then send to silent payment address and then they can send to multi-sig. But that's a little bit hacky. But I will say on the OpenSat side specifically, I mean, we need like 200 addresses. We have to get new addresses from every grant recipient every month. In this case, in the silent payments world, we would just get their silent payment code once, and we would verify that, and we'd pay to it every month. And in the back end, it would basically be generating a unique address every time. So on chain, you would see no address reuse. Absolutely massive. I had him on Scylla Dispatch a couple weeks ago. If you haven't listened to it, go listen to it. But on the technical side, Bitcoin, like pragmatic technical side, this is one of the biggest, biggest releases we've seen in a while.
Is he going to maintain Frigate as a separate software in parallel ongoing?
Yeah. Frigate is a server side piece of software. So in Sparrow, what you would do is, you know, currently you in Sparrow settings, you set an Electrum server, right? It could either be someone else's Electrum server or your own. In this case, if you were doing silent payments, you would, you know, put the URL for a Frigate server as well.
Nice. Shout out to you, Craig. Legend among men. I didn't see enough F's in the chat for Craig among us. Get him in there. Another of our favorites.
Yes, you are. I see a comment in the YouTube chat. You are trusting the Frigate server with privacy and also knowing that you received a payment. Kind of similar to the same trust model that you'd have with Electrum. Obviously, if you were running like a Frigate on a Start 9 or something, you wouldn't have that concern. So it's kind of a similar trade-off balance as modern Electrum servers. By the way, on the Start 9 front, I had Matt Hill on the Citadel Dispatch recently, and I have one of the first production Start 9 routers in my home. I'm actually streaming through the Start 9 router. Fucking awesome. There's a Bitcoin only pre-order going on right now at router.start9.com. You only pay in Bitcoin. But just to explain some of the functionality, first of all, fully open source, uses RISC-V architecture. I might be the first RISC-V router, period. But this, my whole home internet is running through Obscura.net VPN. This stream is running, like Obscura is not running on my computer. It's running on the router level. Super easy to set up. Pretty impressed. Shout out to the team.
I mean, in the ways in which they're sort of incorporating VPN usage is pretty insane.
It's awesome. It's really cool. I've used a lot of open source routers in the past. They're always a pain in the ass. They're always difficult to use. They're always extremely powerful, but they have significant friction and mental burden. So really cool to see Start 9 provide a more user-friendly option.
Shout out to Matt and the team over there at Start 9. Another one of our favorite open source projects is Zeus version 13.0.2. Has been released with new default rapid gossip sync server. They rolled out their own RGS server at rgs.zeusln.com that provides graph updates every 15 minutes instead of every 3 hours. This should cut down on payment errors caused by stale fees and provide higher payment success rates for LDK users. They've also improved read from clipboard behavior, improved NFC support, UI improvements, and bug fixes. Running Zeus, go check it out.
Love it.
This Freedom Tech's winning this week. Big week for Freedom Tech. We got Frigate and Sparrow. Zeus is making upgrades. And then Marty Malmy, literally the Bitcoin OG after Satoshi. I think it was just him and Satoshi at one point working on the protocol.
Yeah.
He made an update, but I think this isn't the launch of Nostra VPN, but he had a pretty big update this week.
No, it came out a bit ago. This is what I put the version number. It was like 4.2 or something.
4.0.37.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's called Nostra VPN. You don't really have to know how Nostra works to use it, which is always cool. And you can think of it more like, it's a competitor to like the self-hosted VPNs out there, not the hosted VPNs. So with hosted VPNs, obviously you have this trade-off where, you're trusting your VPN provider. But as a result, what you get is you get some type of anonymity set, right? So you're using a shared IP address. Marty and I have talked about in the past, and that shared IP address gives you a you know, you kind of hide in the crowd a little bit when you're going from website to website, so they're not tracking your IP address. Alternatively, a lot of people like to use VPNs to be able to access devices on their home network when they're out and about. One of the popular options has been Tailscale. It's hard to set up. It's centralized. This is easy to set up, and it's not centralized. So really cool project. Huge shout out to Marty. Definitely go check it out, regardless of how you feel about Nostr as a social media protocol. This is just really useful.
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of discussion is using Nostr as like an AI marketplace this week in Texas as well. Don't sleep on Nostr. Don't sleep on Nostr. Just Hoddle in the YouTube chat, Ride or Die Freak.
Post a link.
I can't find the project. I just tried to Google it, so you're definitely going to need to send a link. He's saying he's got an open source Bitcoin project called DNA Ucash, which uses NFC tags to easily transfer physical Bitcoin without internet, like Casatius coins.
Yeah, if you drop the GitHub repo, I'll start tracking it too for releases.
Yeah. Last but not least, CTool version 2.3.0 has been released.
It's from our boy Bitcoin Q&A.
Yes. So it started as an offline C generation verification tool. It's grown into a broader Bitcoin toolbox, PSBT inspection, descriptor, mini script analyst, Lightning invoice decoding, BIP 353 helper, signed message verification, silent payments, Shamir backup, and BIP 329 wallet labels all bundled into the same single signed HTML file. It's pretty robust feature set you got there, brother.
It's a good way to learn while doing. I wouldn't put cold storage seeds in it. But play around with it, with test seeds, learn how everything works. It's a very good education tool.
Yeah.
And then if you're like in a pinch, you can use it with real keys.
Yeah.
Should we wrap so you can get to your gala?
Yeah, but before we wrap, I need some gala advice. Has anybody ever been to a gala? I've never been to a gala. It's not like black tie. It's like a more casual gala. I think it's a ship museum, so it should be fun. It should be on the Delaware River.
Dress ship themed.
Ship themed. Okay. Should I wear Sperry Docksiders and...
Peg leg and parrot.
Peg leg and parrot. Okay, I'll take that.
I was told it was a ship theme.
We'll walk in this gala just talking like a pirate. Yarr. Shiver me timbers.
I don't know. I'm not a gala guy. I have no experience.
This is going to be my first one. Not a gala guy either. What's gala etiquette here?
Well, you can report back next week for us.
The Google's AI response. A gala is a prestigious formal event designed to celebrate achievements, honor a special occasion, or raise funds for a charitable cause. I feel like I'm getting pulled into the latter of those three.
Yeah, I mean, they're always asking for money. That's no doubt they're going to try and get you on the hook for a donation.
Okay. Should I try and give them Bitcoin? Should I load up an OpenDime? Like here?
Yeah, just tell them Bitcoin only. You're happy to donate, but it has to be Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. See what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Should be a fun weekend.
Love it. Stay humble, stack sats.
Peace and love, freaks.